Welcome to Agency of the Month, National Geospatial Intelligence Agency, sponsored by TIBCO on Federal News Radio. Each week, we talk to agency principals about agency achievements and best practices in meeting mission goals and standards. Now your host, Tom Temin.
It's the abode of everything from Santa Claus to Russian and Chinese warships. Several nations jut far enough up north to have coastlines and territory in the Arctic. And for a variety of reasons, the Arctic is becoming more strategically important to the United States and to the countries with which it shares that polar region. To help U.S. agencies operating there, the National Geospatial Intelligence Agency has been releasing non-classified data to anyone who wants to use it, public or private. Keith Dominick is the chief of the Atlantic Maritime Division at the NGA.
NGA will be doing digital elevation models for Alaska by the year 2017 and 2018 for all of the Arctic. So with that, NGA is working with the academic and producing these. So they are digital elevation models, are basically the elevation at spacings throughout the planet, and they're taken from commercial satellite from DigiGlobe, and they're used to show the terrain as tidal changes happen, as the shoreline changes. These elevation models will tell you the differences that'll happen.
Are these elevation models obtained from NGA or government satellites, or do you have other sources?
So no, all these are unclassified. So this is the first time NGA is pushing digital elevation models out to the public. So they're all used through DigiGlobe. They're coming through the DigiGlobe contracts we have, and we're working with the Polar Geospatial Center and also University of Ohio and also University of Minnesota.
And so DigiGlobe is a commercial company that has pictures unclassified of the whole Earth, right?
Yes. So they have pictures of unclassified of the whole Earth that we have contract with that we can get to, and we pull them down. So they're unclassified. That gives us the capability to build the unclassified digital elevation models that then we can provide publicly to them.
And just a side question, does that company, do they operate their own satellites, or do they use?
Yes, they have their own satellites.
All right, and NGA, the government has satellites too, but that imagery is not available to the publicly available stuff from NGA?
That's correct.
Right. I get it. So you're almost a pass-through to the public for it, with a little expertise thrown in. Do you cooperate with any other commercial sources? I mean, the one that comes to mind, of course, is the big G company that has their Earth models. Is that part of this whole picture?
So, no, Google is not part of the picture, but Esri is. So we're working with Esri on the storage and posting the files out to the public.
So it's really a blend of commercial products, but with NGA's knowledge.
So it's using our tradecraft, since we're building the digivation models. We have the experience to do it, so we're using that. And we're also gaining knowledge, too, of the Arctic while we're doing this. So it's also enhancing our tradecraft as well as helping the public to see what's the changing is going on in the Arctic.
Now, are other federal agencies like NASA or NOAA part of all this?
USGS is a little bit involved since the Alaska is Ontario. They will be responsible for the Alaska areas. But we are building or evaluating the DIMS for those areas.
Okay, and you mentioned the academics. So there's
yes.
It's almost a consortium.
It is. It's a consortium through all the way from OSTP, the Office of Science, Technology, Policy, down to NGA, the National Science Foundation, the Polar Geospatial Center, and then universities also being part of it as well.
So for someone that might need a classified view of the Arctic or Alaska or something, that's a whole other set of data and products that NGA has that it keeps for military and intelligence purposes.
Right. We would have our own military products that we would provide to the military depending on what their needs are as well. But anything that's unclassified, our directive is to make it publicly available to anybody that wants it.
So it could be that some of the people involved in military work might look to the commercial side and say, I wish I had that pulled in.
The folks that are doing this work, they do both do the military and commercial side, so they work back both and forth depending on what the customer needs.
We're speaking with Keith Dominick. He is the chief of the Atlantic Maritime Division at NGA. With all of this imagery of the Arctic going on and being made public, what are we seeing that's happening there? I mean, we've read the accounts. What can we actually see from the imagery?
So what you see is the shoreline, actually, erosion is what's happening. And so it's what you'll have as more storms come in, the tidal surges will be different. And it'll show you is how much elevation there is from that shoreline, how quickly the land increases, which could, you know, as water level goes up, it'll tell you how much water level goes up before you're flooding. What also can also tell you is the drainage from when the ice melts, so the snow melts up there, and how the water is feeding through the valleys, and how the people up in the Arctic are actually getting their drinking water from the streams that are coming down. So it tells you the elevation. So anything you can tell by the elevation models will be in these models that you could use to build other products from.
Well, I should know my geography better, but how many countries impinge above the Arctic Circle?
five main ones that are above the circle. So you have the U.S. with Alaska, Canada, Russia, Greenland, which is Denmark, and then you also have Norway.
Russia, I guess, is the big one that we maybe worry about the most. By looking at this imagery, a nation can learn a lot about another nation. I mean, it's all out in the open, what's happening with everybody's Arctic territories and boundaries.
I mean, you're looking at the climate effects in the Arctic, it affects everybody the same up there. So we try to look at it as an international. We all work together and try to identify these areas, and we pass all information. All of our data is publicly available. In fact, with the increased shipping lanes up there, NJ has the maritime products, the charts that allow you to sail safely through the Arctic, but it links to other sites. So, for example, in Russia, where you have the Northern Sea Route, if a commercial vessel is going through there, you can go to our website. It'll link you to the Northern Sea Route, which is run by Russia, and it'll give you the Russian instructions on how to take a ship right through Russia.
Wow. So does the imagery available to the public, how fine-grained can it get? Could you see a shipping lane, or could you see a ship?
So it gets down to 8 meters resolution, which right now the typical resolution is about 30 meters.
That's a tugboat.
It could be. So it's not real-time imagery, obviously. So
right.
it's what imagery was taken. And in the Arctic, you only have so much daylight up there. So it's a very finite time that you can actually get commercial imagery up there, which will be coming up here in March is when you can start tasking more imagery to get, because you obviously have to have the sun up to get imagery. So it gives you a finite time. But from those products is where we'll build the DEMS from.
All right, so the DEMs, the Digital Elevation Models, or DEMs, that's the beginning of that's kind of the core of the product?
NGA is looking at the other products we make available at our unclassified level we're posting to our website. And what we also created was a comprehensive Arctic map of the whole Arctic. And that'll have your shipping routes up there, both the Northwest and the Northern Sea Route. But it'll also have all the ports and airports that are available in the Arctic. It'll have a search and rescue diagram, so you can see if you're a vessel in the area and you get in distress, who would you call, who would come help you in those areas. It also lays out the territory claims, as well as the boundaries and the submissions to the UNCLOS for the territorial seas up there.
So if someone were on the North Pole and they could get a message out, you would know what assets are closest to them.
What it does, it designates internationally who is responsible for what areas to get to search and rescue there. So it lays out which country would be responsible for sending the assets there to get you safely home.
And do any other countries contribute anything to this, or do they have assets that would be worthwhile for it?
Yeah, so that's how we get our source data, is we reach out to our international partners and we pull in their data, their information as well, and we pull it together, we collaborate it all, and we post it all together as a map or a product, depending on what the customer needs.
And does Russia contribute to this?
Russia does in the hydrographic, so we do receive hydrographic data from Russia, because one of the important things is safety navigation. You want to make sure ships are safe when they're sailing around their sea, so we do shell cooperatively through the International Hydrographic Organization, and we do meet with Russia as well once a year on hydrographic needs in the Arctic.
In what format do these DEMs and the other products become available to the public? Do they, something they download? Is it a website?
So,
how does it work?
So most of them are downloadable, the parts, the charts, the products. You all can download as a nautical chart if you need it, or the Arctic maps downloadable. The DEMs are also the shapefiles that can be downloaded. If a user knows how to use a shapefile, they can download it and use it. But we also built a digital elevation model viewer. So if you don't know how to work with the shapefile, you can actually view it on our website and see the elevation models and see how drastic the change is in Anchorage. So you can actually see the mountains and how it goes up from the shoreline. Right now, there's only five available, and they were the five places where the president visited when he went to Alaska. So our goal is to have all of Alaska up the March-April timeframe, and then the following March-April timeframe have all of Arctic done.
Keith Dominick is the chief of the Atlantic Maritime Division at the NGA.
You're listening to Agency of the Month featuring NGA, sponsored by TIBCO, on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM.
Know the why behind the what. Using TIBCO Analytics, your agency can uncover new dimensions, trends, or patterns hidden in data to drive real value. With TIBCO Analytics, agencies have the power to revolutionize the decision-making process and seize every opportunity to take preemptive actions that mitigate risks. Learn more about the strategic advantage of TIBCO Analytics at TIBCO.com/federal.
Welcome back to Agency of the Month featuring NGA, sponsored by TIBCO, on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM. Here's Tom Temin.
The National Geospatial Intelligence Agency has been releasing non-classified data to anyone who wants to use it, public or private. Keith Dominick is the chief of the Atlantic Maritime Division at the NGA.
Review for me the products that are available to the public, unclassified, that are concerned with the Arctic.
So available on our website at www.nga.mil is our unclassified nautical charts of the Arctic. So any charts that are made for mariners to sail are there. They're available and downloadable as PDF files. Also, we created a comprehensive Arctic map of the Arctic, which has the Arctic routing maps, the search and rescue areas, the navigation warning areas that promulgate messages to mariners while they're out at sea. It also has bathymetric data, so underneath the water, how deep it is in different areas in the Arctic, as well as the economic exclusion zones in the territorial seas as well on there. It also identifies the ports and airfields that are available in the Arctic as well, and some of the topographic features as well from the map side. We also have sailing directions in the Arctic as well. Those will inform mariners as they're sailing through there. There's a textual book about giving descriptions of the area they're sailing through and how they would route a ship for a mariner to keep them safe as possible.
And who do you find is interested in this information? I'm imagining corporations would, you know, down in the main parts of the country and all the countries involved would need this information for whatever purposes. But I imagine the locals that are up there might discover things even they didn't know about their own territory.
Yeah, so that's one of our pushes is, you know, we build a lot of products in Jay does for our military customers. A lot of it's at the unclassified level. So Director Cardillo's big push is to push our data out to the public. So we have these nautical charts, these sailing directions, and other products that are completely unclassified. So why not push them out publicly that could be used not by just our military customers, but by researchers and scientific and academic folks, as well as local people up in Alaska and in the Arctic. They can pull this data as well and see the data that we have as well.
Now, between the classified and the unclassified of a given area, are there things that you need to filter out that can't appear on the publicly available material that might be available to the, I mean, you don't have to tell me what they are, things?
So we build products to whatever the customer needs. So if a customer needs something, we'll build that product. And if it's in the Arctic and if it's unclassified, we will post it to our website and make it available. And obviously, if it's classified, we wouldn't share that with the public.
And just to make it clear, this is me speaking, not you. Yes. But if there was like a missile silo up there that was visible on a military product, that would probably be erased from something that's available publicly.
Well, we wouldn't build...
And I'm not asking you to confirm or anything.
What we do is we build products for the need, and then that product would be sent out to the customer, depending on what classification, and we would release it to the public.
And what metrics do you keep, or how do you determine how many downloads you're getting, or who's using it, and for what purpose?
So it's a fairly new website. We just started up, so we don't have the numbers to share at this time, but we are starting to track how many hits we do get on the our Arctic public website.
And what's the traffic look like?
So when it was the president was up there and he announced it, and then we did a big public relations push on it, there was a lot of hits on it. I'm not sure on the numbers exactly, but I know there's a lot at the beginning. I'm not sure where it's at now. But we are looking at continuing updating it with new information. One of the new items that we're looking at putting on there is boundary videos, and they're videos that will actually describe where the territory boundaries are and why they're there. So it's kind of a history lesson on why this boundary is in this location. So there'll be about 8 videos that we're working with the State Department to build, and they'll be posted to our website, and it'll be very educational to learn why is the Canada-US boundary here, why is the US-Russia boundary here, and it'll lay out the background of why those boundaries are actually there.
Just curious, are there any towns or villages or structures that straddle a boundary up there?
No, there's nothing. So usually the boundaries are gonna be through the sea, through the maritime water areas is where they typically are at. So they wouldn't cut through a town.
But I guess it must be important for a shipper or a sailor to know where that is, because you just don't want to end up in Russian territorial water necessarily.
Well, yeah, the territory lines are important to understand the rules. Each nation might have different regulations when you sail into the water, so you got to understand which territory nation you actually are in and who you're responsible for.
We're speaking with Keith Dominick. He's the chief of the Atlantic Maritime Division at the National Geospatial Intelligence Agency. And let's talk about the technology behind all of this. First of all, there's a cloud hosting strategy for this that I imagine doesn't apply to the classified material. Tell us about where and how this is all hosted for the public downloads.
So we're working with Esri to build a cloud, because the digital elevation models are very large files, and the time we get done all of Alaska and all of the Arctic, there will be a lot of digital elevation models, especially at the 8 millimeter resolution. So we have to make sure we have the cloud storage space to have all these and make them downloadable to the public. So we are working with Esri. And when you go to the NGA.mil website and then to the Arctic website per se, it actually, if you look up the top, it will say NGA.esri up there.
So people that are downloading are not hitting on NGA's own internal servers for this information?
Right. There's not internal servers. There are web or cloud posted at Esri server.
Give me a sense of the size of these holdings. How much, I mean, they sound like big data sets.
Well, we haven't finished yet, so I'm not sure the exact size, but they're going to be large sizes. They're not, each one of themselves are going to be around 100 megabytes, but so they might not be large. Depending on the download speed of the customer, they could range in the sizes of them, but you put them all together, you're going to talk about a large file set.
Yeah, I mean, well, even 100 megabytes, that could be a few minutes.
It could be a
good connection.
Download, right.
Yeah. All right. So this cloud will be operated by Esri on behalf of NGA?
Right. NGA has a contract with Esri where we can host files cloud server.
All right. And talk about some of the tools, the software tools. I mean, how do you have this data that comes originally from a satellite, mm-hmm. right? It's all satellite. Is there any non-satellite imagery involved? I guess helicopters or balloons or?
Well, you could build digitization models from those, but these are all in the Arctic. We're using the DigiGlobe to build them for them. And the idea is to work with the academic to build an algorithm to make it fast processing. And then we're using a supercomputer as well, academic supercomputer, to process them even quicker to build them to get to the all of the Arctic done by the goal of 2017.
So that's where that academic partnership comes
right.
in. It's their supercomputer.
Their supercomputers.
Processing. I'm just curious as a side question, if the DigiGlobe, is that a geosynchronous orbit birds that they have?
So they have multiple birds. I believe they are geosynchronous.
Because there are GOES orbiting, like the NASA, I think. It's NOAA that operates the GOES Arctic orbiting, or the axial orbiting that are lower.
Right.
Is there a way of blending the two sets of images to get a better picture? Or maybe not?
So it depends on the satellite. It depends really on what the technology of that satellite has is what you got to look at. So you got to make sure that satellite is there available to build these. And then you got to build the algorithm to that processing or that resolution the imagery takes. So you have to build the mathematic part behind it to build these digitization models. So if you brought two satellites in, it'll complicate it more, make it more harder, more difficult to do.
It could make it blurrier rather than sharper.
Yes.
Keith Dominick is the chief of the Atlantic Maritime Division at the NGA.
You're listening to Agency of the Month featuring NGA, sponsored by TIBCO, on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM.
Know the why behind the what. Using TIBCO Analytics, your agency can uncover new dimensions, trends, or patterns hidden in data to drive real value. With TIBCO Analytics, agencies have the power to revolutionize the decision-making process and seize every opportunity to take preemptive actions that mitigate risks. Learn more about the strategic advantage of TIBCO Analytics at TIBCO.com/federal.
Welcome back to Agency of the Month featuring NGA, sponsored by TIBCO, on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM. Here's Tom Temin.
The National Geospatial Intelligence Agency has been releasing non-classified data to anyone who wants to use it. Keith Dominick is the chief of the Atlantic Maritime Division at the NGA.
I'm interested in the people that work on this. What are some of the resources that required to produce this Arctic hosting and download capability? How many people and what kind of, how close are they to the classified people?
So, well, they're the same people for the classified and unclassified. We don't look at it as that. We look at, here's a product we need to do, and this is what we do. So they could jump from a classified product to unclassified the same day. But it's about us building the products, and the classification ends up what it is. So the folks, the most folks that are working on this are on the digital ocean models are actually out in our St. Louis site, NJ St. Louis. And the idea is really to get the algorithm that's written in the supercomputer to run it. So it's a pretty smooth process. The academics run it, and then it comes to us, and we just evaluate it and make sure it's fine-tuned, and then we would post it. So that would take a lot of work off of us and just make sure you use our tradecraft and our experience to make sure what's being produced by these supercomputers is accurate, so almost automating it faster so we don't have to put that much resource towards it.
So is it NGA people that do the coding of this algorithm and developing it?
So we do have some codes, but most of it's being done at the academic level as well, mm-hmm. and we're evaluating, making sure that is the accurate algorithm to process it correctly.
So that intellectual property, does that reside then with NGA, or could these academics use it for?
They could use it as well. A lot of it's being funded by the National Science Foundation, so the National Science Foundation can use it for other means as well.
So you could almost call all of this open source data, really.
Oh, it is open source data. Exactly is our push to make our data very open source.
And what are some of the more interesting applications that you're aware of that have been built with it? Are there apps for this yet? Or
there's no apps for digitization models yet. Again, this is the first time NGA is making digitization models available and classified. But who knows what the future could bring.
Well, I'm thinking of things like Flight Radar, a super popular app in a totally different domain of all the planes in the air at a given time. It's hard to tell what people might be fascinated to have.
Right, and that's why our goal is just to get the data, and if it's unclassified, post it. And then the academic and scientific researchers, they can take the data and build whatever they want from it. And the idea is just to make the data, the shape files, the digitization models, and then see what they want to do with it.
And what is the process by which the decision gets made, this one is classified, or does that start with what the customer, which customer is asking?
Right, so it's more what the customer asks for, so we're not going to say we're going to go build this. We'll get the requirement, and NGA will receive a requirement about this product. And then if it's unclassified data, the way our agency wants to do is push that to the public. There's no reason not to. It's publicly available, unclassified data. We want to be as transparent as possible, so then we would build a website and post it as well.
Now, there's a few old-timers that kind of miss maps in the sense mm-hmm. of people drawing maps with pens and colored yep. brushes and so forth. And I know that doesn't happen at the NGA anymore. But are you aware of people resulting in artistic work using some of these downloads?
So I'm not aware of what they use the downloads, but I will say we still build maps and charts, not with crowns, but use it with computer systems, using Esri and Keras and different softwares.
And really big printers.
Really big printers. So we still do build the maps and charts for our military customers in the Arctic as well. And those products, if they're unclassified, you'll see the charts and maps available on our website as well.
Now, you mentioned earlier that the tradecraft of NGA is being brought to bear on this project to mm-hmm. get the Arctic out there to the public. But is that project bringing new tradecraft back into NGA that you might apply to other areas on the Earth at some time, or maybe Mars one of these days?
Yeah, so obviously having the supercomputer helping us and also the algorithms that are being written by Ohio State, we can learn from it as well. And if they work very well, we can fine-tune it for other means and use it across the world as well.
I mean, would you have, for example, is it the same assets, or the same sources available of the Antarctic?
Yes, so DigiGlobe, it takes commercial imagery and classified imagery around the world that we can have access to it. So if there's a need to build these products somewhere else in the world at a classified level, we would have the algorithms already in place, the supercomputer already in place, and National Science Foundation is also interested in Antarctic as well. So that could be a growth area that this could go to.
Maybe it's less strategically important at this point because there's not five nations down there. There's one continent and nobody lives there.
Right, and that's why the push is the Arctic first and see what happens to Antarctic. I mean, obviously, the focus is Arctic with the president's push in the Arctic as well and defining the United States as an Arctic nation with the United States being the chair of the Arctic Council right now. That's why the drive is for the Arctic in this area.
Keith Dominick is chief of the Atlantic Maritime Division at the National Geospatial Intelligence Agency.
You've been listening to Agency of the Month featuring NGA, the National Geospatial Intelligence Agency, sponsored by TIBCO. The entire show is available on demand at federalnewsradio.com. Search Agency of the Month.
Know the why behind the what. Using TIBCO Analytics, your agency can uncover new dimensions, trends, or patterns hidden in data to drive real value. With TIBCO Analytics, agencies have the power to revolutionize the decision-making process and seize every opportunity to take preemptive actions that mitigate risks. Learn more about the strategic advantage of TIBCO Analytics at TIBCO.com/federal.